When you feel depresso, have a little espresso. In this episode, we are learning all about caffeine. We will see how it affects the human body, athletic performance, as well as some surprising places you can find caffeine. That's all coming up on Wellbeing Simplified.
I got no expectations, life just gets in the way. So why don't we just roll the dice and head down the interstate? Ain't you tired of this town? Life just seems to sink into the ground. We were born to be better than this.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Wellbeing Simplified. My name is Maggie, and I'm your host for this podcast. For our intro today was Run of Good Luck by Rob Baird, which is something you might hear while drinking a cup of coffee. Speaking of which, who likes to wake up first thing in the morning and drink a cup of coffee? How about two cups of coffee? If you're a coffee drinker like me, caffeine is a necessity when you stay up late and have to wake up early. And it's essentially become a part of your daily routine. I'll say this, if I do not have my cup of coffee, then I won't be able to function as a normal human being. But how does caffeine work? How does it make us go from a grouchy morning person to a happy person ready to take on the day? So, let's get to it. The FDA estimates that approximately, per person, 300 to 400 milligrams of caffeine are consumed every day. And this is the equivalent of 2 to 4 cups of black coffee. Yes, it's true, coffee can be drunk without cream or sugar. If you don't like black coffee, then this is the equivalent of 3 grande caramel frappuccinos from Starbucks. Now, before I start pouring out the scientific terminology on how caffeine works, let's take a trip to the past to see how coffee became so popular in the first place. The coffee bean has been around for hundreds of years, but it wasn't discovered until the 9th century. According to Ethiopian legend, a sheep herder named Kaldi discovered his goats were very energetic after eating a red fruit. I wonder what that could have been. After trying the fruit himself, he also felt the effects, staying more alert and energized than ever before. Excited with his findings, he told the local monastery, who used the beans to conjure a drink useful for long rituals, especially those at night. Then, the monks told the other monks, who told the other monks, and soon, word began to spread. By the 15th and 16th centuries, coffee beans were grown in different parts of Africa. How did we get a hold of it in the Western Hemisphere? Travelers and explorers coming back to Europe told about a strange black drink which had the magical power to make you stay awake for long periods of time. By the 17th century, coffee beans were being transported into Europe from Africa and quickly became popular, but not as popular as the British tea. Fast forward to the Pilgrims coming to the United States and forming the 13 colonies, coffee becomes the most popular drink after the Boston Tea Party. So how does caffeine work on the brain? To better understand it, here's a little neuroscience 101. In the brain, there are chemical messengers called neurotransmitters. They work towards communicating with other neurons and also make sure everything is in an internally balanced state called homeostasis. Now, the chemical structure of caffeine mimics that of adenosine, which slows down activity in the brain, making us feel drowsy. Now, they're both kind of like salt and sugar. They look similar, but they do completely different things. So when you're drinking your cup of coffee, here's what happens in the brain. Caffeine binds to the receptors for adenosine. The binding excites the brain, causing neurons to fire continuously. The firing of these neurons tells your pituitary gland, or the master gland, which controls hormones, to produce epinephrine and norepinephrine, which is commonly referred to as adrenaline. With the production of epinephrine and norepinephrine, your body goes into what I like to call ninja mode, always alert for anything. Killing a mosquito that comes out of nowhere, or avoiding a giant pink elephant in the middle of the road. You would feel like you were in an action movie. Caffeine also aids in the release of dopamine, our pleasure hormone. And that's why people who may not exactly like mornings immediately transform into a ball of sunshine after having a cup of coffee. However, our brains are pretty smart. To balance out the overactive neurons, it creates more sites for adenosine. Now, if we drink the same amount of coffee, we won't feel the effects, so we end up drinking more, which releases more dopamine and it creates more adenosine sites, and the cycle continues. So now that you understand how caffeine works on the brain, let's take a look at how it affects the rest of the body. With epinephrine and norepinephrine pumping, the heart beats faster, pupils become bigger, and the muscle tightens. These side effects are the same physiological symptoms we experience during fight or flight. While caffeine is most useful when we need a wake-up call, it also has some surprising health benefits. When drunk as black coffee, caffeine can boost the metabolism and prevent hunger, which may aid in weight loss for some people. An article published in November 2017 by the BMJ, a peer-reviewed medical journal, indicated that caffeine consumption may lower the risk of developing cancer by 18%. However, there are also some negatives toward the caffeine consumption, especially when more is consumed. So remember, 300 milligrams is the safe amount. With the elevated heartbeat, an overdose of caffeine can cause an irregular heart rhythm, known as arrhythmia, disrupt regular sleep patterns, and could further fuel anxiety. But let's look at a more practical application for caffeine's effects, specifically in athletic performance. The American Council of Exercise, or ACE, has gathered findings on the effects of caffeine on endurance and strength training. Endurance refers to sustaining a physical activity for a period of time, like running, cycling, or swimming, just to name a few. According to ACE, the consumption of caffeine has allowed athletes to continue activity for longer periods of time. In this case, caffeine is acting as an extra boost. The same case was found having to do with strength performance, which in English means weightlifting. However, a study published by Dr. Brendan Egan at the School of Health and Public Performance at Dublin City University in Ireland has found that caffeine could also worsen performance. Here was the experiment. They had 18 men, which were all athletes. They had to do 10 40-meter sprints. To translate this, it means you're running like somebody is chasing after you for a distance of about 131 feet, 10 times. Now, before they ran, the participants were given chewing gum. Half of the participants were given gum that had the same amount of caffeine as 2 cups of coffee, while the other half received gum with no caffeine. To take it a step further, researchers looked at how much caffeine the athletes consumed on a regular basis, like looking how much coffee they drank or energy drinks they had. And here are the results. The athletes who regularly consumed 2 cups of coffee or less daily, the gum had little to no impact on their overall performance. Here's the interesting bit. Those who had a caffeine equivalent of 3 or more cups of coffee a day, their performance worsened after having the caffeinated gum. If you're interested in learning more about the study, it's available in the International Journal of Sport Nutrition and Exercise Metabolism. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where can you find caffeine? Survey says coffee is probably the number one answer. However, there are also some other foods that contain caffeine, which may surprise you. MyFoodData and The Daily Meal have compiled a list of foods that contain caffeine. One such food is decaf coffee. That's right. A lot of people have the idea that if it's decaffeinated, there's no caffeine. However, there's only less caffeine than the average cup of coffee. In a standard 8-ounce cup of coffee, there are 95 to 100 milligrams of caffeine, while decaf can have 2 to 12 milligrams. Another item which I was personally surprised at caffeine was certain over-the-counter medications. However, after doing a little bit more research, I found out the reason why. According to the Cleveland Clinic, the reason why caffeine is in medicine in the first place is to allow the medicine to be absorbed more quickly into the body, therefore allowing it to take effect more quickly. Another source of caffeine that may not be as surprising is energy drinks. Energy drinks can vary in content of caffeine, from as low as 6 milligrams to as high as 242 milligrams, according to Consumer Reports. There's so much information about energy drinks that I would love to share with you all, but it will have to be saved for another episode. Lastly, did you know chocolate can contain caffeine? Caffeine is natural in cacao beans. With added milk and sugar, the effects of the caffeine go down. In general, the darker the chocolate, the higher the caffeine content. Did any of these findings surprise you? Well, thanks a lot, Tay, for listening. And that's a wrap for this episode of Wellbeing Simplified. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at WellbeingSimplified2020 for updates on episodes, health and fitness tips, and some hilarious health pictures for your entertainment pleasure. New episodes are uploaded every Wednesday on Anchor and Spotify at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. See you next time!